morning. Welcome and thank you for joining us at St. James Westminster for worship. My name is Hannah Skora. I'll be leading the service of the word this morning. Our music is led by Angus Sinclair, Victoria Piovesin, Paul Grambo, Katie Clark, and Steve Hollowitz. And as ever, joining me here this morning is our sound engineer, John Gardy. Please check out our Sunday school videos if you get the chance. The link is also included on the same link that this show is included in. And I would invite you to center yourself and prepare yourselves for worship. God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may so pass through things temporal, that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of Romans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among so many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we've been in quarantine for months, and I'm a very talkative person, I've taken to social media to fulfill my needs for connection and communication. I'm sure like many of you have. And the funny thing I found about being a priest on social media is, regardless of what platform I'm on, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, even dating apps, I've encountered people who want to talk to me about faith, who want to ask me theological questions, who want to engage in spiritual discussion, who need some pastoral care. And I'm happy to do it, but one of the most prevalent conversations I've had with seekers, or just curious minds, is about how we know what God is up to in the world. How do we understand his actions? How do we interpret the holy words he's given us? And what's so interesting in these discussions is that no matter the spiritual practices of the person I'm talking to or the faith background they come from, they all understand one thing. Words are, simply put, very powerful. Whether they're the convicting speech of an evangelical preacher or the long-cherished liturgical traditions of our own church, they say something about us. They manifest our reality. Words don't simply describe things, they make things happen. They're not just descriptive, but evocative, even creative. When two people say, "I do," in the context of a wedding ceremony, for instance, they're not merely describing the relationship they're entering, but they're actually creating it. When someone says, "I love you," or "I hate you," you don't only hear those words, but we feel the force they exert on us. Ultimately, what a word means comes not from what it says, but what it does, what action and impact it creates on the world. And so it is so fascinating, and I think terribly important, that Jesus uses parables to teach his disciples. Because parables aren't about plain speech. And parables don't just describe the kingdom of God so much as they evoke some element of God's reality in our lives. Because they are not simple, they are participatory. They create curiosity and exploration. They are not obvious, nor are they overly complicated and obtuse. Jesus' parables remind us that the faith we preach and the kingdom we announce isn't just some metaphorical feel-good concept. Nor is it a hard and fast concrete judgment. It is an experience of the spiritual, of the emotional, of the intellectual. It has the creative and redemptive power of God that changes all our lives. And sometimes the only way to get beyond our head and into our hearts is to, as Emily Dickinson once advised, tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Parables come at us sideways, catching us by surprise with a different perspective and inviting us into the beauty and wonder of ambiguity. This week's passage presents us with a series of parables that evoke different elements of God's kingdom. And if we were to approach this with an apathetic attitude towards the invitation into interpretation, it would be very easy to state with rock-hard certainty what these parables are about. Well, of course, the mustard seed and the yeast are about little things making big changes. And yes, on a superficial level, each of these two parables talks about something small, a mustard seed or a bit of yeast, blossoming into something much grander. But this is the problem of treating parables like a proverb. Big things have small beginnings, or don't judge something based on its size. They're true, but that's not really the whole picture. Because here's the problem with taking the easy surface level view. These two things are not very popular at this time. Mustard seed is a weed. It's a problem plant. It's not one you want. And yeast is not viewed with positivity in Jesus' context. It's a contaminant. And it almost always represents the pernicious nature of sin when mentioned in the Bible. So why compare the kingdom to a pesky weed and a pollutant? Surely Jesus would have understood his own context and known that these were really crazy things to say. And we could just make the excuse that, well, he's making analogies. The simple explanation still stands. And yes, I guess it does. But I would invite you to see it this way, my dear friends. Words have power. Words like racial slurs and hateful comments, they don't just mean the thing they are labeling, they mean all the things associated with it. They mark people as undesirable. They ostracize and dehumanize. They justify abuse and oppression and genocide. Words have power. Words of love are balm for the soul. Someone who loves you and sees you for exactly who you are, their kindness can echo back in time and heal your wounds. They can mend your heart and build your strength. They can carry you through pain and suffering. Words have power. So why does Jesus use these images, these words to talk about the kingdom? Why does he invite us into something by taking these unwanted, undesirable, associated with sin things and using them to offer us a glimpse of the reality that he has come to create? Well, I think that's it right there, actually. The reality Jesus has come to inaugurate is this, one of love and grace and forgiveness, one of inclusion and welcome, one of enfolding into the family, the household of God. Jesus tells us, creates for us the reality that even the most unwanted, undesirable thing makes up the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, the things that people most associate with objectionable social status, the outcasts, the tax collectors, the sinners, the people, the powerful and the privileged would never view as important. That is exactly what this kingdom is built on. Kingdom of heaven is this, my brothers and sisters. It is all of us, broken, flawed, beloved people. It is love that is awkwardly given with sincerity. It is rough grace and hard-won redemption. It is objectionable and uncomfortable and wonderful and amazing. It comes at us sideways and knocks us out of our routine. It makes us think and feel and experience God's wonder. It creates itself within us, within each and every one of us. That kingdom seed deep in our hearts. And thank God for that. Amen.
Seeking for
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I would invite you into a position of prayer. As followers of Jesus Christ, let us pray to our loving Father in heaven. Father, help us all in your church to understand what it really means to love and serve you. At the time of testing, strengthen us. At unexpected or undeserved suffering, support us. At the end of our energy, revive us and teach us through all the inexplicable peace and joy that comes from doing your will. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, have mercy on us for the misdirected use of time, money, and resources in this world, in the struggle against evil and sin. Empower us so that justice and righteousness are established, upheld, and celebrated as hearts rejoice in the freedom of all that is good. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, renew our commitment to your loving in all our relationships, our work, and our prayer. In the hard choices, give us wisdom. In the painful decisions, affirm us. And may our words speak your truth, whether that is to encourage, to comfort, or to challenge. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, bring healing and wholeness to all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. In the sleepless nights and the endless days of pain, give grace to persevere with patience and turn these dark times into places of spiritual growth. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, may those who have died rest in the eternal peace of your presence, their burdens laid down and their suffering ended. We look to the cross and see your love for us. Father, the full extent of your love for us is so much greater than we can even imagine, and our love and thankfulness, we offer the praise of our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
And shout beneath the rays. and prayed. Leave your covert places, ye who were afraid. Here's a golden story, here are silver news. Here be gifts of glory for all men to choose. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving praises. Sing to God. Now from mead and spain, now from flood and foam, feathered, fed and finny, all ye creatures come. Ye shall discover that for when she waked, winter days are over, sing and celebrate. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving praises.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.